On Midwest Week, the long, long effort to save the John Deere home in Moline. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Barb Ikus, reporter and columnist for the Quad City Times. Remind us, Barb, where is the home located and when was it built?
Oh, it's hard to miss it. It's up on the peak of the bluff on 12th Street and 11th Avenue in Moline. So it's just up from the newer Trimble's. I was just going to say the mark. Above the mark, yeah, up by the tax, above the tax layer up there.
And when did Deere build that home?
You know, Deere didn't build it. A grocer, and I used to know the name, a grocer in Moline built it. And then he went broke about 5 years after. So John Deere bought it in 1875. And then he spent 5 years making it bigger. In fact, about three times bigger. It's now 9,000 square feet. Of course, it started life much smaller. But so he spent 5 years making it bigger. And then he moved in 1880. And then he had about 6 years there. He passed in 1886.
Okay, so what happened after his death? I mean, 1886 up until now, did it stay in the family or did someone else buy it?
Yeah, I mean, his widow lived there for a couple years. I believe she passed in 1888. And then it kind of, the history on it goes pretty dark. You know, other private individuals had it, but it didn't take long until somebody decided with that much space and that great location to turn it into apartments. But then the apartments kept getting smaller and more numerous. And by the time I went in 1993, when the city took over and said, we're going to see if we can find somebody to bring this thing back, in 1993 it was just a hideous mess. I mean, it was 12 or 13 or maybe even 14 apartments. Many of them were, you know, basically efficiencies. And they were in terrible condition. Whoever the landlord was over the years hadn't taken care of them. And they were low-income properties, and it was just an absolute disaster. And that's why the historic preservation, and I want to say this correctly because I didn't in the story. It's not the commission. It's the Historic Preservation Society that went in there and did all the dirty work in terms of the demolition. You know, all the partitions and all the walls that were put in there to separate it, and they just went in and basically demoed the inside.
Okay, so the city took over and then did what? Did it advertise for someone to buy it or be interested in fixing
it
up?
Yeah, it sure did. The city spent a couple of years trying to get a developer interested. They took over in 93. Now, there was a lot of work to be done. That was done in those intervening years between 93 when the city took it and 1996 when Roger Kohlmark became the first Reno owner. And that's when the Historic Preservation Society folks did most of that work. They did most of the demo. And then Roger Kohlmark stepped up. He was a CPA out of Sterling, Illinois, and the city handed it over to Roger for $100.
Okay, and then what happened then? Because it sounded like, at least because you and I and other people talked to him, it sounded like he had big plans, but then things just seemed to sort of stall.
Yeah, it was feast or famine with Roger. He spent a chunk of money. I mean, that slate roof and there were things that he did that were exceedingly expensive, well over $1 million on foundation work and then returning that siding to where it is. And then he had some specialists come in and get down to the very bottom layer of paint so they could find out the actual original color. Roger spent a lot of money. Unfortunately, he wasn't very interested in city code. And so he did a lot of things without permits and this sort of thing. And Roger Kohlmark got very sideways with the city of Moline. There were many, many fines, hundreds of thousands of dollars levied against him for things he had done incorrectly. And then, of course, the city, having turned the property over to him for $100, they had certain expectations on deadlines and so forth that he missed.
Mm-hmm. So he, in a sense, dropped out or was foreclosed on, and then the city had it
again? Bank in Sterling foreclosed on Roger in 2009. And then it took a couple of years for the new owner now, Christopher Baker. Chris Baker bought it in 2011. He's a Moline native. And he lives evidently in the Chicago area. He's not an easy guy to reach, which has been a frustration for neighbors and some others. But the house does look good. Unfortunately, there's no progress. I mean, if you look on the outside, it's not a dump. Mr. Baker has repainted it with the help of the Historic Pres Society. And he's done a couple of minor things, but basically he's just keeping it looking good until he does whatever it is he's going to do with it.
Now, does he have any sort of schedule that we know of, or is anyone holding him to any sort of deadlines that we know of?
Nope, the city's not involved this time. When Baker bought it in foreclosure, the city was out of it. There's no relationship between Baker and the city of Moline. He can do what he likes, and in the time period he likes, he's not an old man. He's a young guy. And what he has told his neighbors, and I'm talking about the people who own the Skinner Cady, not Skinner Cody, but Skinner Cady right next door, they have told, they've said to me that Baker plans to move into the house, that it's maybe a retirement project is the way they put it, that when he moves back to Moline from the Chicago area, he intends to live there. So he would be putting it back together.
Okay, but we can say at least right now, Barb, that at least the shell of the building is protected, the roof and the outside walls and everything?
Yeah, the outside is lovely. I don't know if you saw the picture in the paper,
oh,
but
yeah.
It looks very good. It's a handsome home, and Colemark did a beautiful job on that slate roof. Unfortunately, he didn't vent it for the fireplaces. I don't know why. Before he put the new slate on, that's been something that's sort of astonished people over the years. As, gee whiz, why spend $500,000 on a slate roof and not vent it for the fireplaces, but we'll never know the answer to that. But it does look good on the outside. There's just not much done on the interior.
And is Mr. Baker getting any help with his project here that we know of?
The only help that I'm aware of came from the Historic Preservation Society, Barb Sandberg and Diane Moore, and that group. They had been raising money for the John Deere Mansion, and so they had it in a bank account, and they turned that over to help with the repainting. Even though Roger Colemark spent a lot of money on that paint job, it just didn't last. The paint was shipped in from Holland, and the paint just didn't last. It was really starting to look shabby, so that was one thing that Baker, along with the society, did, is get it repainted precisely the same color.
Now, speaking of Roger Colemark, something else that's mystified me from your story was that you said that he kept all the original woodwork.
Yeah, that's a pretty – why he did it, I don't know. I mean, we know why he took it out. It was to be refinished. Mm-hmm. And there are extensive photographs of where every piece went, and it was all marked. And this is all beautiful woodwork that would have gone, you know, from floorboards to trim to molding, all of it. And he was going to have it redone. And I don't know whether it was in one of those projects. Roger was fairly well known for dragging his feet on these things. You know, he didn't go pick up the pocket doors, and then they perished in a fire, but it had been years. And what I do know from the sources I spoke with, who are neighbors up there, is that Chris Baker did make an offer to Roger Colemark to get that trim back, to get that woodwork back, and the price he quoted was just not doable.
Doesn't it seem odd, Barb, that a house with this sort of importance to the area would not have been fixed up much sooner than it's been?
Well, sure, and that's been a popular question, is why didn't John Deere Corporate take over years ago and put the money into it? And, you know, the people I've spoken with at Deere didn't want to go on the record about it. I was told that the house in Grand Detour is sort of regarded the important place for Deere in terms of a place where he lived. And that, of course, it's maintained. It's an historic property. I mean, the John Deere home in Moline is on the National Register. It has been since 2003. But evidently, you know, Deere didn't feel like it needed another property. I don't get it. You don't get it. I mean, what a great addition it would be. It's just up the hill from the John Deere Commons. But it was evidently either too much money or, you know, they didn't feel like they needed another museum.
Okay, and so we're waiting for Mr. Baker's next step, and it'll be someday, we hope.
That's exactly right. It's just a huge question mark. He's not keen on answering questions, responding to email or phone. And you know what? The city's not involved. It's Chris Baker's property. He can do what he wants on his timeline. I guess what we can all do is hope for the best.